Hi, and welcome to the third episode of SBCCDTA's podcast. I'm Brandy Bayless, and I will be your host for today. I teach math at Crafton, and I'm one of the full-time union reps for Crafton Hills College. The goal of this podcast is to increase communications with our members. Currently, we have monthly luncheons at both campuses, monthly donuts, a blog, and regular emails. But not everyone can make our lunches, and we all have a ton of emails. So the union came up with this podcast as a solution. It's a way for our members to listen to updates in a conversational way and to be able to do it on their own time, whether they're freeway flying between classes or just packing lunch for their kids. This month's show includes updates on negotiations, on Oracle, or as our president refers to it, the debacle that is Oracle, and our goal of open dialogue with the board. We want to thank you for taking the time to tune in and hear some updates, and we also wanted to recruit some active voices from our adjunct faculty. If you've run into an issue that you feel the union should address, even if you're not sure, please just send us an email, give us a call, or stop by one of our offices and let us know what's going on. You can also stop by one of our union lunches on the third Wednesday here at Crafton Hills in LRC 226 or the fourth Wednesday at Valley in the Sunroom. Both lunches are at noon. Crafton is also doing donuts on Thursday following the union lunch in LRC 110 at 9:30 in the morning. So with no further ado, let me lead you into our main segment with the union president, Meredith McLaurin. We're here again for a union update with Meredith McLaurin. We're doing it a second time because somebody, I don't want to point fingers, but it was me, deleted it the first time. So we're doing it again. We're going to talk about negotiations, about Oracle. We're going to talk about the board coming to our meetings. And we're going to talk about the past conference that we just went to and the upcoming conference. Sounds good. I'll lead with that. How about negotiations?
Well, negotiations is continuing. We have had a couple meetings since the semester started, or a couple negotiation sessions. Basically, we are still kind of in the same place that we were in the fall. They have not passed too much more. We passed our wages proposal in the fall, and we did finally get something back from the district on last Thursday.
Was it awesome? Tell me it was awesome.
No, I don't think I can say that. It was an offer.
Okay.
Information, the specifics of the proposal and everything will go up on the website, but the current offer was for a 1% salary increase for next year.
Okay, so 1%, what did we ask for?
We asked for 5% this year and 5% next year, because our goal was to get to median. That has always been the goal in the contract. The district and the union have agreed that we need to get faculty to median salaries. So when you look at our comparison colleges, our goal is just to be in the middle. We want a C. We don't need an A or a B. Currently, we're at about a D when it comes to comparison. So we wanted to just get to a C. And we made some strides towards that last year with our increase, but we didn't make it all the way. We had a little bit left, which when we calculated was about 10% more would get us to a median. So that was our reasoning for having a 5% and a 5%. And finish off median. The 1% raise that we were offered would put us backwards. It makes us go backwards. We'd be back down into the F range.
Okay, so even though we'd be getting a raise, we wouldn't be approaching median?
No. And in fact, because all of the other districts have moved forward, they also got raises, we in effect go backwards.
Oh, okay.
We would not even be maintaining where we currently are.
So we go from D to F,
yes,
instead of from D to C.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Exactly. So we would be going backwards, which the union has no interest in doing. And so this will not be the ending point. We will continue to negotiate this in the next month or so, in the upcoming weeks as we continue to meet.
And then raises would be part of the contract that we would try and get ratified.
Yes. So if we do eventually come to an agreement, those would come up in the spring when we do the voting, because the membership has to vote on whatever raise amount is agreed to.
Mm. Okay. So we passed calendar in that we've agreed on that, right?
Yes, the days. Yes,
yes.
We agreed on the changes in the days. To reduce, we are currently at a 177 contract, and we would go down to a 175, which puts us much more in line with the surrounding colleges. We were one of the few colleges in the state, I think, who had a 177-day, 18-week instructional calendar. And so it puts the instructional days down to 166. The days are shorter, but the number of hours and minutes is exactly the same. So we will not be losing any instructional time. We simply are going to condense it, consolidate it just a little bit into 166 days as opposed to the current, I think, which is 170.
Which would allow us to match like the RCCD.
Yes.
And
yes.
get closer to their timeline, because usually when students are picking between an 18-week class or a 16-week class, they're not picking the 18-week class.
No. And retention is better in shorter week classes. Most of the research supports that. And so we would be more in line with what seems to be best practice when it comes to the length of the semester. Now, faculty will still be on almost 18-week semester for our work time, because we're only losing 2 days. But it gives us a little bit more time for things like, preparing syllabi, for working on PPR and annual
PPR
plans.
Is so fun. So fun. I really was hoping for more time to work on that.
Yes. Well, at least you would have the time as opposed to having to make time.
I'm doing it between classes
exactly, now. Exactly. So it will also allow for a little bit more professional development. And then we also agreed, though, that those professional development days must be planned in conjunction with faculty, professional development, and the administration.
Oh, so we can get that accessibility training and the Canvas training that we're hoping for.
Yes, we could, but at least it would be paid time. But we have to agree to it. So it's now something that we have to agree to as groups about what we want to spend our time doing.
And so calendar has been passed back and forth, and the union and the district has agreed, but now it needs to be actually ratified in April?
Yes, so that will also be on the vote. Now, the other piece of this that we do not have control over is the actual scheduling of the days.
Oh.
So when those flex days will happen, when those in-service days...
And that's what, calendar committee?
That's calendar committee. Okay. And they're currently meeting. So if anybody's interested in what they're doing or what they're looking at, you can always look at their minutes to see what their ideas are.
And they're a Brown Act committee?
That I'm not entirely sure if they're Brown Act, but definitely anybody can always attend the meetings and their minutes. I know they have the minutes and the calendars that they're suggesting are available.
Okay.
And so it's just a matter of figuring out what days, times, what days we would have the flex on. And those kind of specifics are determined by them, not by the union. We simply agreed to days.
Okay. So we just amount of days, calendar committee decides where the days go.
Exactly.
So wages we're working on. Parental leave?
Parental leave, we have not had anything back from the district yet. We did pass ours. I believe it comes up every time they were having their lawyers look at it. So we're hoping next time it will come. The basics of the parental leave will have to follow the law. They have no choice but to follow the law. We had just tried to streamline all leaves as opposed to just parental to make it a little more...
simplistic?
Just to simplify it and to make it a little bit more user-friendly, I think, in terms of taking any leave. So as soon as we have something about that. If it's more than the law, if they agree to more than the law requires, then it will go on for vote as well, but they will have to agree to at least the minimum of the law.
So if it just goes to the minimum law, we don't vote on it because it's law.
Right.
But if we get anything more than the minimum, then it would have to be ratified.
Then we would ratify that one. That would be on the vote as well.
Yes. Okay, and then how about what the district agreed to open?
The district wanted to open evaluations, which was fine. Our current evaluation system that's in the contract was probably created in the 80s. And so, it's not a bad idea to review it and to look at it. We have not received anything official from the district about what they're proposing. They've talked a little bit about what they're thinking. They're looking at complete overhaul, not just little couple pieces here and there.
Okay.
But we have agreed to nothing because we haven't received any official proposals. Considering the extent of changing an entire article, how long that takes, I cannot imagine that we will finish this before this year's end. But we definitely will get it started, hopefully. But it will be something that will continue. And so I don't foresee any great changes to our evaluation procedures in the next year or two.
Okay, so members should hopefully see wages and benefits, parental leave, and calendar on the ratification?
And the calendar, yes.
But evaluations don't expect to see in April.
I can't imagine unless there is some amazing feat of negotiations.
Right, and that's because we have to have, like, time to review it, and we have to get it posted before.
Yeah.
Like, there's a whole bunch of rules we have to follow for the ratification.
They bring it forward. We have our time to propose, you know, our areas. And it literally comes down at the end to, you know, line by line, agreeing on words and language and definitions and all of these kind of things.
And that's a really large article, so that would be very intense.
It is. And it's a very specific process that you want to make sure you get it done correctly, because agreeing to something without realizing the impact of it is not something we want to rush into.
And growth-minded, too, because our last evaluation process didn't take online learning into account anyway.
No.
So there's a bunch of questions that make no sense for the online classroom.
Right. And there's huge sections. And the goal is, I believe, for both sides, is to make the process more effective, more useful, and to make it something that is valuable for faculty as opposed to just checking off a box every 3 years that it was done, which is currently kind of how the process is shaping up now. So those are the main things that hopefully negotiations will get resolved. Those three, and then start the evaluations process.
Mm. Okay, so let's move on to Oracle. Okay. And before we go off on the debacle and what we're trying to negotiate and what we've done to do that, let's just talk about why, because we don't want it to seem like faculty are just anti-technology.
No. And it's not just a matter of a new system. If it were a new system, we could work with that. We could certainly, you know, come up with some parameters and trainings for, you know, understanding a new system. The problem is that Oracle is the new financial system that the district has chosen to use, but it's the workload that is now associated with this. Anybody who's had to do anything with Oracle, there's 15 steps and things get kicked back. It's a workload issue for classified, it's a workload issue for faculty, and that is where we have finally had to say enough. We are not going to have to spend hours and hours on things like reimbursements. We have district policy for how reimbursements are supposed to be done. Oracle is not following those processes. And not only is it not following it, it is adding huge, incredible amounts of time. And this is where we have finally said, enough. We will not continue to follow this system, which is inefficient and it's not effective.
So I have heard from faculty that were like, submitted, no problem.
Right.
But what is the counter to that?
Right, so submitting is fine, but when it comes back three times, or you're asked for repeated information, you know, or it goes off and it's gone for a month and you assume that it's moving forward, and then it comes back and you realize it's not gone anywhere because there's a piece of information that you need to be submitted in addition.
And so we have faculty that are literally thousands of dollars for months at a time.
Or it goes on and something happens at a higher level, but it's not sent back to the person where the glitch happened. It's sent all the way back to the very beginning, and you're told, as a faculty member, to restart the entire process. Mm-hmm. This is our issue. And so, again, it's not that we don't think that maybe we can eventually come to some agreement, but until they get the system worked out better, we cannot be spending our time as faculty doing huge amounts of data entry and paperwork.
So it sounds like there's a pretty big learning curve for Oracle. Like, it can be an awesome thing eventually, but right now we're still working on the learning curve, and we're just kind of asking the district to learn it themselves first.
Right, and I think this is the problem, is that it's not been solidified at the district level. They are not sure about the system either. And so we are just getting caught up into this loop of their learning curve, which we are like, no, we will sit back here, we will continue to do it the way that it has been established all along, and once they get it figured out at their end, then maybe we can enter into this process. But for now, again, it's difficult. I don't want to tell anybody that they can't use Oracle, because currently the district, it does seem at times, is holding money hostage, and that you can't get advances, you can't get reimbursements unless you use Oracle. And so we certainly are not going to tell anybody they can't do it. However, my recommendation at this point, or the union's recommendation, is to not spend any of your own personal money on anything for the district or for the college. Again, I know this can impact professional development, and so
just hoping to move it forward quickly.
Right, exactly. We will do it as quickly as possible, but until we get this process figured out a little bit better, if you are, you know, going to be out thousands of dollars, I would really, really consider not spending that money up front, since I don't know how quickly we'll be able to get that money back.
Okay, and so to that end, what has the union done to try and fix this?
So we have submitted a demand to bargain. Basically, this means that the district has to bring this to the table to really talk about what we're going to do. It was not something that was opened originally. However, since the district has implemented processes that are impacting faculty workload, we can require them, basically demand that they come to the table. And so we have said, you know, they need to cease and desist all instructions of telling faculty to use Oracle and bring it to the table so that we can come up with a plan for how this is going to work from here on out.
And in the meantime, we're just hoping that they fall back on the actual policy to just follow the actual policy until the new system has been worked out.
And this is for faculty is what we are telling them to do. So hard copies of AC9s, AC10s with receipts attached sent to the secretary.
Which is the current board policy.
The current board policy for how we are to be reimbursed. Advances, same process. You fill out those forms, submit them, request the advances.
Okay.
That's what we are encouraging faculty to do at this point, is to follow the current policy.
Okay.
We'll see where it goes. We'll keep you updated on any information that we get from the district.
Perfect. Do we have a timeline for that, when we expect to hear back?
I would like to say, you know, that it will be timely, but I don't. I can't. I don't want to.
Okay. So we just don't know. The district gets back to us. Okay. And then how about to our goal of increasing our communication with the board?
Yes. We've actually had a couple of really good successes with that. I've gone to the board meetings a few times, presented there, given them information. And one of the biggest things that we did was invite a board member, Joseph Williams, to come to our executive board meeting at the beginning of February. And he accepted and joined us for lunch and for some conversation, which I thought was very successful. I thought we had good conversation. You know, it's our responsibility to make sure the board is aware of what we're doing and where, you know, our issues are. It's hard. We have to remember not to overwhelm the board members.
I was at that meeting and we got very excited
exactly.
that we had a board member to talk to. We were very excited.
We were. It was very good to have his ear, but at the same time, you know, we also had the reminder of, you know, not to overwhelm him with all of the issues and maybe focus on a couple of the ones that we feel are the most important. And I think we actually did a pretty good job of kind of narrowing down the three areas that we think probably we would encourage the board to really focus on that would be of benefit to faculty were coming up with a staffing plan. Our first one was really encouraging the development of a staffing plan tied to growth. Lots of programs out there, lots of really good ideas, things that might be very good for our students and for our colleges. Again, faculty want growth as much as anybody else. However, in the absence of some plan for hiring more faculty to do the work that these plans are going to require, it becomes a little overwhelming. You already have faculty stretched thin. And the thought of just adding more and more and more is a little overwhelming.
Right, and our counselors are literally running out of people to reassign at this point.
Exactly, and they're reassigning, but then that leaves fewer and fewer full-time faculty teaching classes, which is not good. We know that full-time faculty in the classroom is key for with student retention and with growth. Students come for the faculty. They like the faculty. They like that interaction. And so we have to have something. There currently is no plan. And not just faculty growth, but also for classified, you know, secretarial support. And, it, you know, these positions that we need to be hiring to have them be most effective.
We have some awesome ideas coming through to really support student growth and, the promise grant to help students be successful while they're here. But we just need help to implement. We just need help to implement.
Exactly. And again, you know, we look at the amount of work and we look at the number of people and we're just like, this is going to go down in flames if we don't get
We can't do this or we just won't offer classes anymore. One of the two.
So which one? And so that was, and I think Joseph heard that. I think he also agreed that that would be something that would be useful. The other was, again, we encouraged wages. This was before we saw the district's proposal for wages, but we encourage, you know, the chancellor has spoken of this, the board and trustees have talked about the importance of, you know, making us one of the best community colleges in the area, mm-hmm. and that we want to, you know, attract the best people to come and work at our district. But in order to do that, we are going to have wages that are comparable to the surrounding areas, or we are going to lose faculty, we are going to lose, you know, classified anybody to the surrounding colleges who have
a better pay scale.
A better pay scale. And so if we want to attract the best people, we have to have
at least competitive.
Wages. Yeah, at least competitive. They have to be competitive. And so we really talked about the importance of needing to do that.
Yeah.
Given their proposal, I guess that message did not get back to the district, but we will continue to.
So message we'll continue to give.
We will give that message and that one. And then the third one then is probably a little bit more abstract, but it is we currently have a fiscal system that looks at each college independently and the district as these three independent entities. And we, you know, we are one district. And so when you have funding systems that put one college in deficit, while the district has money to put in reserves at the end of the year, that this is a problem, that this is a problem and needs to be re-looked at.
So I'd like to spend a little bit of time on this idea, because mm-hmm. it's a big idea, it's one that I've heard batted around a lot, but maybe with a little bit of the background missing. Mm-hmm. So what we have the district, mm-hmm. we have Crafton Hills College, mm-hmm. we have San Bernardino Valley College,
yes.
we have KVCR, and we have the
EDTC.
Yes, we just have a lot of acronyms.
Yes.
It's EDTC.
EDTC.
Education. I don't know. There's a lot of acronyms.
It is. It's like an additional entity out there that does, I think, more of the contract ed. We're not entirely sure what they do. This is one of the issues.
Okay. So looking at the two main campuses in KVCR, the two main campuses make money from having students on campus,
yes.
essentially,
yes.
from FTES, which is full-time student
equivalencies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's how we get our money from the state.
So mm-hmm. teaching students is what gets us money from the state.
Yes.
And then the district serves many needs that we need to function.
Yes.
That they are not a useless entity in any way. We need them all the time. They
right.
have HR, they have payroll,
they
have things that keep us organized and functioning.
Yes.
That we cannot exist without them.
Right. Someone has to do that work.
Mm. Because of that, both the colleges who are making money give part of their money to the district to help run HR
right.
and finance and all
right.
of that.
We are assessed. We are assessed a fee for providing those services, which is completely reasonable.
Mm. So the first question I would have is that Valley and Crafton are using HR and payroll and other services, but those are the two main ones
mm-hmm.
At the district. And so we're assessed money, and we essentially pay for those services.
Yes. Yes.
Is KVCR using those services?
Yes. They also use those services, as does the EDTC, and currently they are not assessed.
So mm-hmm. Crafton and Valley are paying essentially for the HR and payroll of the other two entities
yes.
who are not paying for their own HR and payroll.
Yes, yes, that is my okay. understanding. Yep, that's how that works.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully we can get some clarification on why that would be happening. That's mm-hmm. part of the holistic idea of there's a lot of entities here.
Right.
How can we redistribute the cost
right.
so that some of our entities aren't suffering below what they should be at?
Right. right.
So from that, Valley and Crafton are assessed.
Mm-hmm.
Valley is assessed at some percentage.
68. I believe 68 and 32 is the current.
Okay. So it's usually like we round
like 70,
to 70-30.
Yeah, it's a 70-30
okay.
split.
So there's a 70% of what it costs to run the district,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
Crafton is assessed 30%
right.
of what it costs to run the
yes.
district. So then what's the problem? Looking at those two entities, Valley's paying 70%.
Right.
What's
right.
Why is that a problem?
So what happens is that we have two colleges who both have basic minimum needs for running the campus. And so Crafton brings in enough money to cover our salaries. It brings in enough money to cover, you know, electricity and maintenance and all of those kind of things. However, we are a smaller college, so the proportion of what goes out seems to impact us in a greater way than maybe it does Valley. So once we are assessed the 30%, what is left is oftentimes not enough to cover our basic funds or basic needs.
Okay, so I want to try and restate that.
I know. It's a difficult little
okay.
thing.
So Valley and Crafton is much smaller. We have far
yes.
fewer students.
Right.
Valley is definitely, they
right.
have 8,000, 9,000?
Yeah, they're about three times, I think.
Yeah, and we're somewhere around four?
They're like, I think the Valley's like to 10.
Absolutely. Okay.
Like 10. I'm about 6 and 10 or 12, I think.
But we have costs like a president and a VPI and buildings that stay open and just the space of the campus and the grounds and all of that. Even though Crafton has fewer students, all of those things cost the same amount.
About the same as Valley, yes.
So when we're assessed, when it's not taken into account that we had to pay that same amount of money for those same services and we're assessed, what we end up going into is a hole because we didn't have enough money to pay for the services after we were assessed.
Our basic core costs are not that much less than Valley, but we bring in a lot less to begin with. So
and we're not saying we have the solution for that. We're just asking the district to look at the process and see how we can stop saying that Crafton is in the hole when actually they're not.
What puts us in the hole is the money that is pulled out from the district. And then the district budget, so Crafton is constantly having to reduce and spend less, whereas we don't see those same reductions carried over to the district. So the district doesn't see that they need to spend less in order to take less from us. They continue to spend at their same rate and budget at their levels for everything they need. And then Crafton is
in the
deficit.
One that's in the hole.
Is in the
so
hole.
What you're saying is that Crafton doesn't have enough money, but rather than saying everybody needs to tighten their belt a bit, it's only Crafton that's being asked to tighten their belt.
Right. And we are looked upon as if we are not capable, or we're overspending, and that's why we're in a deficit. And it's not because we're overspending, it's because when you look at how much we bring in, when you take off that 30% our assessment to the district, it's a huge percentage, and it just doesn't leave us enough in the end to cover all of our costs.
So what we're asking for is maybe a more equitable way of looking at it. First, looking at how the other two entities can help support the district, and what options there are there. And then second, looking at if Crafton is in the hole, then the district is also essentially in the hole.
And viewing it that the district is also in the hole. And currently that's not how that is looking.
Yeah, and so right now it's just assessed as Crafton itself is in the hole.
Right.
And the district can essentially save money, right? They have money going into savings
while
Crafton cannot pay the bills.
Right. Yes.
Okay.
And that is, and again, I'm not sure what the perfect solution is to that. But there has to be something that is better than what it currently is.
Okay.
So, and that, again, it's an abstract idea to kind of explain. But that was our third request.
So just to recap, it was
staffing plan tied to growth, to help with growth and to encourage growth. Competitive wages to the surrounding areas to get us to median. That was a goal of both the district and the union. Both agreed to that so that we can attract the best employees. And then the last one was to a more holistic view of our fiscal situation.
And it sounds like the best way to address all of those, because they're huge ideas.
It is.
The best way to address all of those is just keep lines of communication open.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. And that anytime decisions are made, looking at, you know, how does looking at the staffing plan would help this, or can we include a staffing plan in this process?
Okay, so when we have a new project coming through, just include a staffing plan with it.
Right.
Where are we actually going to get people to do this job?
Right. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. So it might take a little while, but we'll get there.
One last subject.
And then
to
I was going to say, I'm sorry, on the last, one last thing on communication. So Stephanie Houston is our newest board member, and we are going to be inviting her to our March executive board meeting.
So our goal is one board member per meeting, right?
One or two.
Yeah,
we don't want to invite, we don't want to invite more than three. I think you can't have more than three together, because then it becomes issues with, you know, meetings away from the table.
Yeah.
But one or two is good, and I think it's a good opportunity for us to get to know Stephanie and for her to get to know the union and kind of the faculty. So.
Yeah, and just from the public entity, and there's just a bunch of rules about how many board members you're allowed to have together in a room at the same time.
Yes, and I know there's like a tipping point, and we don't want to get close to it, so we would do maybe one, no more than two ever to come. But again, I thought it was a really good conversation, and I thought it was a good opportunity for Joseph to get to know us and for us to give Joseph information.
I can't agree more, and we were very grateful to Joseph for coming and being the first one, the guinea pig.
Yes, he was, and it was good. I think it was good conversation on both sides.
Okay, and I'm looking forward to seeing Stephanie at the next one.
Yes, I'm hoping she's able to attend. I haven't heard back yet, but we will hopefully hear soon. So.
Okay.
We went to a conference recently.
Yep, we had our the winter conference, CTA-CCA conference, which we had the executive board attended. As we also had three faculty just from the general population of faculty.
That's a really good turnout.
It was great. It was a good conference. The focus was on bargaining. And so we had a lot. We had a group of four people go to the Bargaining Academy. Some of them who have been on the bargaining negotiations team for a couple years now, but they said they still learned stuff. It was still new information, some of which we are going to incorporate into our negotiations.
That's great.
The last of this year. So that was a really good use of their time, I think. I think it was very informative for everybody who attended. They're always really, they're good. Like, they worthwhile. Positive experiences. And then we also have a spring conference coming up. It's April 26th through the 28th. We will once again, it's Southern California, so it's a little easier for us to attend. We will have executive board members attend, but then we will have a couple of spaces available for just faculty in general to attend if they're interested in attending.
So for every conference, we have at least one open seat,
yes,
right?
Yes, we have at least one, but we have, I believe we have 12 spaces, so we can send 12 people, depending on how many from the executive board, because oftentimes there are other things going on, not everybody from the executive board can attend, so we want to take our full 12 seats, so however many executive board members are attending, whatever is left. We
just
offer
go out to the general membership.
To the general membership, and faculty who are members are welcome to join us. They are all expense paid, pretty much.
So I have some follow-up questions.
Hotel is covered, food is covered, transportation is covered, and these are not reimbursed through the
district. Okay, that's what I was going to ask. We just said not to spend our own money.
Exactly, no. You do pay up front, and then you are reimbursed. However, these are reimbursed from CTA and the local, and the local reimbursement comes before the conference is ended. We will write checks at the end of the conference to cover half the hotel room.
Okay, so no waiting for 6 months to get reimbursed. You got a three-day waiting period.
Yeah, well, for our part of it. And then CTA reimburses usually within 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay.
You will get the other half of the hotel and meals and transportation covered.
And this conference is in April?
It's in April, April 26th through the 28th, and it's in Irvine. Hilton Irvine, I can't remember exactly, but it's in Irvine. Usually nice hotels, family friendly. I bring my children. They kind of hang out, go to the pool, and hang out all day.
All right.
Reasonably priced meals. You can bring your entire family, feed the entire family for $40 for the entire weekend.
Oh, wow. That is
a great deal.
Because it can be really difficult to get to these and separate from your kids for that long.
And so, everybody has their own room. We, as a board, have agreed long ago that everybody should get their own room. We don't have to share rooms. We like each other. We like hanging out with each other, but we don't want to sleep with each other at night.
There's a line.
That's the line. So everybody has their own hotel room. So it's great. If you want to bring spouse and children, they're welcome to hang out during the day. And then we get to go to conferences. So I highly encourage everybody, if you have the time and the ability to try and attend one in the year.
So, okay. Mm. Well, thank you for all of that information.
Yes.
We covered a lot, but very important. And thank you to our listeners for staying tuned and for being patient, because we had to do it twice, and it's really late now because I deleted it.
And we always talk longer the second time. So.
Yeah, we tend to go a little bit longer. The first one was not this long. And I'll try harder not to delete it in the future.
That sounds good.
Hi, me again, Brandy, here to thank you for listening and to remind you to hit that subscribe button so that you can stay up to date with your local union.